It's the 100 Sanford Podcast. I am your host tonight, Lamar Lovelace, rolling solo. We got guys doing what they got to do. My man Graham Coffee is out and about kind of making things happen. My man Trigger Trey is in the middle of doing some edits for some big-time players for the University of Georgia. So it is me solo. But as usual, I never go completely solo. I always reach out to some of my friends in the community, friends in the business, and friends that can talk dogs. And so I'm going to reach out to my guy, Jake Roos from Dogs HQ, part of the On3 Network, to give me some updates on recruiting and what's happening for those Georgia Bulldogs. But before we get started, if you didn't already know, you know now. G-Day is April 16th, but I tell you this, nobody likes going to see our boys between the hedges if the grass isn't mowed. And I tell you what, our facility crew does a job better than none. But hey, why don't you guys join them? The 100 Sanford Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package 4.0. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 100hedges at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls. I'm telling you guys, we got the promotional package and I think it changed lives, man. We're talking about the waterproof lawnmower 4.0, the weed whacker, the nose and hair trimmer, ball deodorant, toner, the high-performance boxer briefs. I ordered another package last week. I'm telling you guys, it's going to change your life. So again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code 100hedges at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code 100hedges. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Trim those hedges. And as usual, go to the website for the links to cool merch and other videos by my man Trigger Trey, who released TT7 Productions. So right now, like I said, he's in the middle of doing edits for some players. He's done some for some nationally, and he's got some big things happening. I'm very proud of the things that we're doing on the 100 Sanford Podcast. Graham Coffee himself releasing a lot of cool articles and things like that on Dog Sports Live. Trigger Trey with his production company and us moving forward collectively as a whole to make things happen here in the recruiting industry. So very excited, very excited. But hey, let's talk a little bit about the Dogs. We got, and I'm talking about all Dog athletics, because we got a lot of stuff going on right now. If you didn't know, now you know. Coach Abe is in the building. That's right. Katie Abramson Henderson is now the women's basketball coach for the Lady Dolls. She takes over for Joni Taylor. Coach Abe comes from UCF, and she comes with a decorated past. Former Dog, Lady Dog herself, then transferred to the University of Iowa. But what I like about her, personally, she was an assistant at Duquesne, so my wife's alma mater, my brother's alma mater. But she also played for Coach Vivian Stringer, who's actually a cousin of mine. I mean, I was excited to hear that. But really, she's bringing a lot to the table, folks. And I thought that one of the key things that she said in her press conference was, there's a lot to do with Georgia, but it's not like the cupboard's bare. And I'm paraphrasing. There's a strong foundation that was put in place by Joni Taylor. Coach Abe comes with a background of being able to recruit, being able to coach. She's bringing basically her entire staff from UCF. So the turnover time in terms of being able to gel as a coaching unit, you're not going to miss that. And it's the same thing that happened on the men's side of basketball with Coach White. He brought his guys, Estrada, and a few others. That's important. When everybody's on the same page and you're not trying to piece together a coaching staff and learn each other's habits and learn each other's ways of doing things, it allows you to really jump on board and start moving quickly. Really, it gets down to, okay, off-season workouts. What are we going to do, ladies? What are we going to do, men? And let's get to it. Let's make some things happen. And I think those are exciting, exciting things. I'm going to tell you right now, right after the hire, I reached out to someone who's in the administration with the University of Georgia. And I said, hey, what are your thoughts on Coach Abe? And this was basically a direct quote. I'm not going to quote who the person was, but she's a rock star. And when you think about it, you look at the press conference, you look at the way that she handled herself in the press conference, the way she commands the attention of the fans, her team already, her background, her ability to coach. She is. She's a rock star. And she's right at home at the University of Georgia, having played there. She knows Athens. She knows how to navigate Georgia. She knows the recruiting ground. She is going to be able to step in and start moving quickly. And I mean quickly in the SEC. I'm looking for big things for from Coach Abe. And hopefully one day we can have her on the show. I'd love to sit down and talk with her, not only about her playing years, but her, you know, also her coaching years. But I want to see how it was to play for my cousin, Vivian Stringer, who is a legend women's basketball coach. So congratulations to Coach Abe. Congratulations to the University of Georgia Lady Dogs on their hire. Now, let's move on to some other things. Spring football is in the air. There's no doubt about it. The boys are out there practicing. I mean, obviously, I think we all got the note that G-Day is around the corner. Tickets are available. I went out and I got my tickets. I got tickets on behalf of the 100 Sanford podcast. So might be doing some giveaways, you know, just basically giving away some free tickets for people who want to go to G-Day, take some family, take some friends. If you've never been down there between the hedges, get a chance to get down there close and see what the boys are doing here during the spring. But spring camp is here. And really, you heard some surprising things. Our guy, Graham Coffey, had his article that came out. Graham has really tapped in with what's going on right now in Athens, right now what's going on in terms of spring practice. And the major thing that really popped up was the quarterback position. Now, should we be surprised? I mean, that's what the talk was for the last, heck, it's been the talk for like the last 5 years, really. But really, last year, the up and down season of in terms of who was going to play quarterback, should JT be in there, should Stetson be in there, and then all of a sudden the mailman rises and the mailman wins us a national title. You go into the 2022 season and still you have people screaming from the rooftop, okay, let's move on to the next quarterback, after a guy that just got you the national title still there in the building. Well, we hear that JT Daniels puts his name in the transfer portal. And your assumption is, okay, Stetson comes back. It's Stetson's job to lose. Well, we hear early in the spring that there's another guy that stepped up, Carson Beck. We hear that Carson Beck has taken a lot of first-team reps, that Bennett is playing with the twos, that Brock Vandergriff is running with the threes. Now, mind you, it's spring practice. You know, I wouldn't put too much into this. Kirby Smart is a master technician in terms of getting the best out of his players. If you haven't learned that by now, you just never will. One other thing about Kirby is that he's not going to pull any punches. He's going to let you know where you stand, where he stands, and where this team stands. And I think one of the things that he said, that which was paramount last year, was that he's going to play the guy or guys that give this team the best chance of winning. So it's April. As of right now, Carson Beck was taking a lot of first-team reps. You be the judge. Is he playing mind games? Is he playing, you know, Jedi Knight? Or is he really thinking about Carson Beck moving up into that number one spot? I don't know about you, but the last time I saw Carson Beck, it looked like there was a little bit of stage fright at times when he got in and got his opportunity to play last year. But even going back to last spring, all you heard coming out of camp was these great throws that Carson makes. His ability to sling the rock, it's up there with anybody there in the building. And it was just basically, can he get it between the ears? And I personally thought that if he got it between the ears, there's nothing to talk about. I think the kid has that talent. You go back to his high school days, his ability to carry his high school to a state championship, he has the ability to carry the room. And I don't think that there's any way at Georgia that he couldn't do so with a strong running back room, some exciting receivers, and obviously probably the best tight end room in the nation. An offensive line that's going to be playing at a high level. As long as he gets it between the ears, you might have a stronger competition at quarterback than what you thought, regardless of the mailman winning a title or not. It's kind of hard to keep cream from rising to the top. It's kind of hard to stop talent from overshadowing someone who has less ability, someone who has less arm strength, someone who has less, ability to make things happen. Who knows? We'll have to see. But right now he's showing out. He's playing well in spring camp. And again, it's spring camp. What else can you say about that? You got the running back room. Obviously, you got the two guys coming back. You got Kenny Mack and you got Kendall Milton. You heard that that Kenny Mack is getting first team reps. You got Milton second team reps. You got Dejon Edwards third team reps. I wouldn't put too much into that as well. If you look at Georgia over the last few years since Kirby's been there, it has been a running back by committee. There's different styles. You got Kenny Mack, who's probably a more elusive back, a guy that's able to make a lot of things happen in terms of his wiggle. You got Kendall Milton, who's not a plotter by any stretch of the imagination. I think a lot of people were actually missing and misremembering of what he's able to do whenever he's healthy. And he's had some minor injuries, but he's healthy now. But you're talking about speed and power with Kendall Milton. And then you got the wild card, Dejon Edwards, who got a lot of reps last year. And I think that's one of the benefits that this team had was being up big in games late and these guys being able to get touches. These guys being able to touch the rock, get a feel for SEC ball, get a feel for what it's like to play in those environments, the speed of the game. And it helps you. And Georgia's always been one of those teams, especially under Kirby Smart, that's played running back by committee and who's got the hot hand. And one thing I like about this room is that they're very unselfish. You've never had one of these guys step up and say, I need X amount of touches. Go back to when Kenny Mack and when Kendall Milton actually committed. And they were asked the questions of, what is it like going into a running back room like this? Do you need to be the guy? And both of them said, no, I don't need to be the guy. I specifically remember Kendall Milton saying, no, I mean, you want the touches, no doubt about it. But you carrying the ball an enormous amount of time is not good for your legs and not good for your knees, not good for your overall desires to become who you need to be. So I think these guys are really going to do well. I think these guys are really going to benefit from each other and all the different styles that they have. The tight end room is a tight end room. I mean, obviously, you got some guys banged up. They're not as healthy as that you want them to be. Darnell Washington, we know, is out right now, and we need him back. We need him healthy. We definitely need him healthy. You got Brock Bowers, who's not really practicing right now. But one of the best things that can come out of that is what came out of it this past season. When someone's down and somebody has the ability to step up, when George Pickens went down, all these other receivers in the receiver room stepped up. Now, you don't want success by attrition, but in the offseason, everybody can get better, especially when you got stars, right? So you got Brett Seether getting some run. You got Arik Gilbert, who is back. And all you're hearing out of camp is that he's that Arik that everybody wants him to be, that everybody believes that he can be. And more than anything, he's healthy in his mind, body, and soul. That's what you wanted. We all prayed for it. And, obviously everybody was disappointed when he originally signed with LSU. And when he came back, there was a lot of expectations. And when he did not play immediately and, had to take some time off, there was some slight disappointment. But I think we should be proud of him. He's doing very well from what we hear in the classroom. Not only that, gelling with his teammates, but the offseason workouts, he is doing his thing and getting ready to have an explosive year, in my opinion. And he's one of those guys that, he's kind of like Brock Bowers. You can play at the tight end position. You can play on the outside. You can play on the inside. There's a lot of things that you can do with him, and it's going to be a fantastic year with these guys. Offensive line-wise, according to my man Graham Coffey, first team reps, Broderick Jones, Xavier Truss, SVP, man in the middle, Devin Willock, and Warren McClendon. What are your thoughts on that? I'll tell you mine originally. Looks like a mauling crew, quite honestly. Looks like a crew that when these guys step on the field, they're going to be mauling people. A name that you did not hear was Tate Ratledge, who still isn't practicing, you know, after that injury that he suffered against Clemson, which I thought changed the entire landscape of what this offense really could have been last year. But once he comes back, it's going to be a whole nother issue. I could see him jumping back at that right guard position, taking over. But you know what? Devin Willock isn't going to give it up just to be giving it up. It's not going to happen. But when you look at the experience of SVP, who I consider the number one center in the nation, a leader on that offensive line, you have too much talent on that offensive line. Too much talent. I mean, to have guys like Mims and Micah Morris as backups, and, you know, there's so much talent in that room, it's ridiculous. And all of these guys are going to get their opportunity to play. All these guys are going to get their opportunity to shine. But it's going to be interesting, really interesting. Defensively, that's the biggest question mark that people want to see answered. What does this team do defensively on the defensive side of the ball? You can't lose a Jordan Davis, a Devontae Wyatt, a Dean, linebackers like Quay Walker and Tindall. You can't lose these guys and think that it's going to be business as usual. But when you do lose these guys, that's why it's important how you recruit, the style of player you recruit, the type of mindset you recruit. And I'm excited to see what these young guys can do. Obviously, you got Jalen Carter back, Nolan Smith. These guys are back. And I consider Nolan to be probably the heart and soul of that defense. I consider Jalen Carter probably to be the best defensive player that's on that side of the ball. Sheer explosiveness. If you want to see somebody take over games, go back and look at his film last year. His ability to just destroy his opponent before him. Jalen Carter was outstanding, and we're probably going to see another top 10 pick come out of Athens next year just by his level of play and what he was able to do and what he's going to be able to do this year. You got Robert Beal coming back. But I think what everybody wants to see is that linebacking crew, right? A lot of talk has been said about MJ Sherman. You know, a lot of talk has been talked about Pop, Jamon Dumas Johnson. And in my opinion, I was asked this question today on Twitter, what are my thoughts on Pop? I think he's a stud. I think he is another version of what we expect to see at linebacker after Dean. He's got the ability to go sideline to sideline. He's explosive. He's a smart player. He knows what he's doing. And when you saw him actually enter the rotation last year, you saw him make plays. The other guy that I'm looking forward to, I was asked this question again, Smile Mondon. Anybody that knows me, and as long as we've been talking and as long as Smile has been one of those guys that was even thinking about UGA, that's probably been one of my most exciting players. I couldn't wait to see it in a Georgia uniform. His instinct matched with his athletic ability is uncanny. For me, what I would want to see, and I hope this progression has been made, and I can only assume under Schumann it has been, that he matches the sheer athleticism and instinct with his know-how on the field. Once that meshes, you're talking to probably about one of the best outside linebackers in the nation eventually, because this guy can just flat out play. He can just flat out get it done. And you can place him all over that linebacking crew, all over from position to position. He's going to make plays. So I can't wait to see what happens there. Then you got the corners. You got the secondary. Obviously, you got Pick Six himself, Chip Six himself, Keely Ringo manning one corner. But it's going to be interesting, right? Who's going to man the other corner? You got your safeties, Christopher Smith back, who's a bona fide leader on that defense. I think it's very understated that he came back, because when you got that type of leadership in the secondary with Tyke Smith and Christopher Smith, that's bringing a lot to you. Now, obviously, Tyke's coming back from the injury. We hope that he's back and he's healthy. If that guy's back and healthy, along with Christopher Smith on that back end, you have a ton of experience and know-how. Guys that are quarterbacks that can see what's happening from a defensive side of the ball and make things happen. But it's going to be interesting, man. We got a lot of players coming back. You got William Poole, who actually played well in that championship game, who was, you know, he was knocked for his performance against Alabama in the SEC championship game, but he redeemed himself in that national title game and played well. So it's pretty interesting what's happening right now with these players and with spring day. I can't wait. I hope to get down there to G-Day. As I said, I have tickets, and hopefully can get down there. But if not, I know I'll have all the information that I need, because I got a guy that can give it to me. I got my man Graham Coffey. I got my man Trigger Trey and multiple people that are down there and got boots on the ground. But I also got my guy that I reach out to whenever I need information, none other than my guy Jake Roos. Let me see. I think Jake is on the line right now. All right, folks, we got my guy Jake Roos, who's in the building. That's right, the senior recruiting analyst for DogsHQ.com. Jake, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's going on, Mar? Appreciate you having me, as always, brother.
As always, you know you are my go-to when it comes to Georgia recruiting, and especially for the 100 Stanford podcast, and we appreciate everything you do. But let's get into it, because there's a lot of excitement right now. All you see is the tweets that you put out and some of the other people are putting out. What is going on with this 2023 recruiting class for Georgia, and who are some of these top targets these guys are going after?
Well, you know, I think right now it's a similar situation to what it has been, I think, in the past for Georgia, in that, you know, they're kind of in a holding pattern. You've got some commits already in, but, you know, I think they're waiting on these summer trips, these summer evaluations. I think you'll start to see activity pick up after G-Day, because I just don't think they're in any rush. I feel like they feel like they're in a good spot with a number of guys that they really, really want to have in this class. I think that they feel comfortable in their standing. And, you know, I just don't see any reason to rush anything, take commitments from guys you may not be sure about or don't know if you're going to, you know, hold on to for the long term. So that's a great place to be, man. I think that Kirby Smart and company are really, really where they would like to be. I think that it gives them a lot of flexibility. It gives them a chance to get some guys in this summer and get some summer workouts in, see if they want to evaluate some guys, that they're maybe on the fence about, how they feel about those guys, and then move from that place. But, you know, when you're talking 2023, I obviously Arch Manning, I think, is the name that comes to everybody's mind first off. But, you know, it sounds like they've really made up some ground, I think, with some of these wide receivers. We talked to Tyler Williams, Hakeem Williams, you know, Carnell Tate was on campus this past weekend. You know, I think that the pass catchers is kind of a big point of emphasis right now. I think they want to get elite at that spot. They've got a guy who is that in Raymond Cottrell for this 2023 class. But I think they want to continue to build upon that, because Kirby Smart and those guys realize the direction that football is moving. And obviously they were able to win defense first last year. But, hey, if you can get a guy like Jameson Williams, why wouldn't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, you mentioned the big name, which is Arch Manning. And my question would be, how much impact do you think Arch has on this recruiting class, especially when you just mentioned the wide receivers as well? Is he the type of guy that's going to transcend the offense and maybe bring a lot of these high-profile wide receivers that people like to see that have done things at Alabama and so forth? What do you think the impact is?
I think it'd be massive. I think that I don't even know that it comes down so much to Arch's play. I mean, that's going to be a significant part of anybody's decision, is, you know, what a standout prospect he is. But I think a lot of guys just want to be in his orbit. You know, they want to be near him and be able to, you know, kind of play off of some of that same spotlight, because, you know, the spotlight's not getting any dimmer if he were to end up in Athens or Austin or Alabama, wherever he lands. The spotlight's going to follow Arch Manning. Kids know that. Kids understand that. They know that there's a brand behind the Manning name. I think that you'll see a lot of high-level guys follow him for that reason. You know, it may not necessarily be a situation where – they're following because, hey, I'm just dying to play with Arch Manning. I think that there's probably a significant portion of guys that think, hey, you know, the spotlight's on Arch Manning. I can be on the corner of that spotlight too.
Well, I tell you what, you did also mention that Kirby and the staff has been really strategic this year. My question would be, what has been the response? I mean, you've been doing this a long time, but what's been the response from the recruits this year versus previous years? Because in previous years, it was, we're trying to win a national championship. Now Kirby's recruiting with the trophy in the office. What has been the response from the recruits as you've talked to them?
You know, I think a lot of guys, you know, for them, it was big to see Georgia get over that hump. And the thing that I keep hearing and that I keep telling people is interesting. It catches my ear because it's something that I've heard for a long time, but I heard it about Alabama, is kids saying, Georgia's Georgia, man. Like I say, you know, what attracts you? What is it that draws you in? Hey, Georgia's Georgia. And that's a situation where these kids are basically saying, like, why wouldn't I go there? You know, it makes all the sense in the world for me to make that move. If I'm trying to play at a high level, if I'm trying to win big, if I'm trying to make it to the NFL draft, kids understand that, you know, the Bulldogs are a national brand, and they were before this, you know, but you had more guys taking, I think, like cursory visits. Some of those top level guys from time to time would swing by. You know, Georgia was on the list, a heavy consideration, but did you feel like they were going to win out? No. In a lot of these cases now, I think that you feel like George is always going to have a puncher's chance with any of these top-level guys, and that's exactly where they want to be. That's the response that you get when you produce a national championship. And not only that, I think what happened at the Combine was as big as a national championship on the recruiting trail. Kids want to see that player development, know these guys can get them ready for the league.
Well, I know after that national championship and prior to the, you know, the Combine, we had a few coaches leave, which always, you know, that creates change. It creates a little uneasiness in terms of recruits. But then we get Fran Brown. You know, you get Deribe. You get Coach Mack is in the building. What has been the response from the recruits? Because all you hear is Fran Brown is that dude or this guy is that dude. What have been their responses to the coaching changes and the transition that Georgia is in right now?
I think you said it best. I think Fran Brown might be that dude. I think that – you know, he's a guy who is drawing some rave reviews. And what I'm impressed with most, I think, about him is not just that realness that kids seem to point to often when you're talking about Fran Brown, but also the guys that he was involved with while at Rutgers. I think that that's really telling as to what kind of recruiter and what kind of talent evaluator this guy was. I mean, you're talking to guys, you know, in the South Florida area that, I mean, let's be frank about it, we're probably not going to end up at a school like Rutgers. This guy was coming at it with no fear, though, and whether he knew that he was headed for bigger things or whether he really felt like he could, wrangle those guys in and get them up to New Jersey, it doesn't really matter. To me, that's impressive either way. He was a guy who was shooting a shot with a lot of these guys, so a lot of these guys are just saying, hey, you know, I already had a relationship with Coach Brown. It's great that we continued it. I'm happy for him. He's at a great place. And certainly I'm interested in Georgia. But, you know, Brown has been an ace hire. I think Brian McClendon, another guy sort of in that vein. What's been crazy to me about McClendon's hire is it seems like that 1 month at Miami, you wouldn't think that would make much of a difference at all. I think that really paid big for him. I think that he was able to connect with some of these guys, Tyler Williams, Hakeem Williams. You know, those guys were able to meet him. And, you know, that was just around the corner from their homes. They were able to get down there, meet him. Now he's in a new place, different logo on his chest, but still the same guy. They were able to establish a bond early on and roll it from there. You know, guys knew him from Oregon. Guys knew him back in South Carolina, helping shape a guy like Debo Samuel in the league. I think that that's huge as well. I mean, you know, the reviews on those guys have been huge. And I think with Stacey Searles and Uzo Deribe, it's been a bit quieter around those guys, but you're starting to hear some of those things start to pop back up. You know, I think Searles has reinvigorated some relationships that maybe died down a little bit in that 2024 class. Cam Pringle's a guy who comes to mind. You know, Uzo Deribe is a guy, I think, who, you know, is young and connects with a lot of these guys. I know Caleb Herring is headed to Georgia soon, top 100 prospect in this class, one of the top edge rushers in 2023. He's looking forward to getting to connect with him face-to-face and get the chance to sit down with him because he said, you know, we already have a great relationship. I'm just looking to see how far we can kind of take this thing.
Well, I'm going to talk about one coach that's already on the staff, and that's Trey Scott. we talked about the combine and we talked about what these guys did to show out. What do you think happens in this 24 class with Trey Scott being there and being able to establish himself as really, I mean, a massive producer of talent, and how these guys are going to translate coming to Georgia here in the next couple years?
Well, I'll tell you first off, there's some people out there that need to eat some crow on Trey Scott, because there were a lot of fans who dogged him out, you know, the first couple years when he was here. And, you know, they were saying, what is this guy? Who is this guy? Who's Jordan Davis? Why are we taking this kid? You know, I think the guy has proven his salt, right? He's worth his salt. So, you know, Trey, I think it's going to be huge for Georgia moving forward. What happens in this draft? What happened at the combine? Those are just massive. I mean, they're massive things moving forward. Kids want to know, you know, listen, NIL is big. Championships are big. But these guys are looking for establishing long-term wealth, especially these top-level guys who feel that, you know, they've got a big shot and a long career ahead of them in football. You know, a guy like Trey Scott has proven, all right, look, I can take you. You're a raw piece of clay. I can develop you and get you there. You know, you could be a highly ranked guy. Well, you know, Trayvon Walker, I can get you there. You know, it doesn't really matter. He's done it on both ends of the spectrum, and that's appealing to guys. I think that a lot of kids really look at that heavily. They want to be developed. They want to see a guy who can take guys, like I said, on either end of that spectrum and turn them into their full potential, and guys kind of gravitate toward that. Trey Scott has proven he can do that. I think recruits will respond accordingly. I think that there's going to be a big, big wave of Georgia defensive line haul over the next couple classes for sure.
Well, you know, taking it back to the big dog up top, and that's Kirby Smart. You know, one thing he's always been able to do is hang his hat on finding the ultimate leader in his class. I mean, you go back to like Richard LeCount, you know, N'Kobe Dean, and these type of guys, Jaylon Walker last year. Who was the guy that's in the clubhouse for 23 that really has that ability to galvanize the room, bring other recruits with him, and kind of maintain some semblance of family? Who would you pin your hat on?
You know, Georgia's got a couple in this class, which is really interesting to me. I mean, there's a couple guys I feel like that are kind of leading the way. Marcus Washington, I think, is sort of handling it in the Peach State. He's sort of running things in Georgia, connecting with those guys, handling a lot of that. You know, I think that he's your guy at home. Abroad, I think it's Raymond Cottrell, man, because he is just emphatic on Twitter. He is a guy who is just talking mad smack, and I had a chance to speak with him and did an interview with him, and he said, listen, hey, you're either with us or against us. I mean, that's the mentality that we're coming with, and I think that that's really cool to hear that being said, you know, from a guy at a position where people, you know, quite frankly, I think want to see an increased presence at a wide receiver. They want to see these top-level guys. Having a guy like Raymond Cottrell handling that for you, I think very impactful. But like I said, to me, it's Washington at home. You got Cottrell handling things on the big stage nationally. I think both of those guys doing an excellent job for Georgia. And don't forget Pierce Spurlin either. You know, I think it's great that they've got these legacy guys that are handling it on their behalf. You know, Pierce Spurlin and Marcus Washington understand deeply what it means to be a Georgia Bulldog. They grew up watching the Georgia Bulldogs. They know Athens like the back of their hand. They've spent time there. Those guys are like other coaches, you know, when you've got a chance to bring in other recruits. When they've got time to spend with those guys, they're going to be as knowledgeable as some of these guys who are, you know, new to the staff, in my opinion. So I think that they've got a couple of aces in this group for sure.
Who's your sleeper for 23?
Tough call. You know, I don't know that right now there is a guy I would necessarily point to that's among the commitment list. Although, if I'm looking at it over here on the On3 consensus, I'll tell you what right now, it is a damn shame that Ryquez McElderry is 410 in the nation by the consensus, a three-star prospect. That's wildly wrong. I'm just going to tell you right now, whoever's missing on that, you're missing big, because I had a chance to see that kid in action. One of the better guard prospects I have seen in person in a long time. You know, I think that he is a full, he runs the full gamut. He's everything you want, strong, great feet, super aggressive, you know, just brings it all, man. And I think Ryquez is the guy who has top 100, if not top 50 potential, really, based on what I've seen from him. I think that he's that kind of player. You know, fingers crossed for Georgia that they'll be able to keep him, because, you know, Alabama's coming hard. But That Georgia has the commitment early on, I think it's a good sign. Hopefully they can hold on to him, because if he's only destined for bigger and better things.
Okay, so let's jump quickly. Not spending too much time, but 24. Is there anybody in 24 that you're looking at outside of, you know, some guys that have already, you know, they've already been pegged to Georgia, but anybody in 24 that you're looking at, you say, hey, you know what, this guy's going to be a dog eventually, I think, or he's going to be a hell of a player that we need to keep our eyes open?
You know, I think that there are a lot of guys that are still emerging there. You know, what strikes me the most about this 24 class, I know Dylan Raiola is the big name that Georgia fans are tuned into when it comes to 24. Everybody loves their quarterbacks. But I'll tell you this, man, you know, Raiola is that dude. He's a great player, number one player for us on three. But there are a lot of there's a lot of talent in the quarterback room for 2024. So if he ends up, you know, deciding to stick a little bit closer to home out there in Arizona, feels more comfortable on the West Coast, listen, I don't think Georgia fans need to be hanging their heads. I think that there's a lot of top-level quarterback play in this 2024 class that can really offset anything like that. So, you know, if you miss on your first option, even if you miss on a second or third, I think the quarterback class in 24 is that deep that you've got enough playmakers. You're not going to be reaching, you know, with a fourth or fifth guy on your board. I think that those guys are just as good as the guys at the top of the list.
You know, some people call it crystal balls and so forth. I call it golden bones. You got anybody you want to predict at this particular time that's going to head into this 23 class?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm probably not going to give away any state secrets here by saying that I feel like Justice Haynes is probably due up, you know, right? I mean, he's one of those. I feel like everybody's just kind of in a wait and see mode. Hey, look, kudos to the kid. He's handled it amazingly. He's super great with the media. He's great with coaches. He's taking his time. He's putting in his due diligence. But it's hard for me to envision Justice Haynes wearing anything but red and black in the end. So, you know, Justice, what are you waiting on? That would be my question.
All right, Jake, but before I let you go, I got a quick question about this whole website. You know, I'm deep with Dogs HQ on three. You know, you guys, Shannon Terry, that's my guy. How do you guys evaluate and get this average NIL value? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, so the average NIL value really comes a lot from the reach the player has. You know, it's about, you know, name recognition. It's about brand recognition. It's about things like Twitter and Instagram. You know, it's an inaccurate science, just as recruiting is, right? But I think that it is an opportunity for kids to get a better handle on how they might be able to monetize themselves. And really, we're looking at it as a product, not really for fans or for coaches, but more so for players. We want to create an opportunity where players are able to control a lot more of what happens in their recruitment. We're about to give more opportunity, I think, to them through things like that and tools like that. And so that's what's exciting for me about it is kids being able to, you know, take this NIL and monetize for themselves, create their own brand, and kind of run from there. You know, I think that there are a lot of really cool opportunities with it. I think guys are doing a lot of great things with it. And like I said, you know, we're just trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together for them and help them try to, you know, get that ballpark figure. You know, now I'll tell you, like I tell all the kids, I'm not the guy who hands out NIL about evaluation. So don't come to me if you think you're worth $500,000. And I don't get mad at me about it. I'm not that guy. Just like I don't hand stars out either. But I think it's a cool tool, and I think we'll see a lot more of it becoming a bigger part of the game moving forward, certainly.
Well, Jake, I tell you what, you're continuing to do great things, man, slam dunking on everybody out there. Tell the people where they can get more of the material, continue to follow you, and continue to follow Dogs HQ.
Yeah, check us out over at Dogs HQ, part of the On3 Network. You can check us out right now, 4 months for $10. That's a great deal, $250 a month. See if you like it, feel it out, be a part of our message board, all the recruiting scoop. You know, we got Wes Blankenship over there just doing his thing, man. He's one of the more unique voices, I think, in all of media, let alone Georgia. And then we got Palmer Toms over there running the team stuff. He's been breaking news consistently since he came on as part of the team. So we got a great team over there. I'm excited about these guys that we're working with. And, you know, On3's been a great success from the beginning. We're only getting started. We're not even a year into this thing, and we've had plenty to hang our hat on already, and more to come. So I do encourage people to get over there, check it out. Like I said, 4 months for $10 right now. And if you want to follow me, you can do that over at Twitter at Roose Recruiting. That's R-E-U-S-E.
All right. Thanks, Jake. I really appreciate the time as always, brother. And you know you're always welcome here at the 100 Sanford Podcast anytime, any day. You know it.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, Mario. You're one of my dudes for sure. So I anytime you need me, I'm just a call away, brother.
All right, I got you, boss. Be easy out there.
Thank you.
So that was Jake Roose. That's right, Dogs HQ on 3 Network. I love Jake. I love what he continues to produce, and I love what those guys at On3 are doing. And like he said, head on over to that website. That website is phenomenal to me. I love the things they put together. I love the things in terms of, like, heck, you can go and look at what's the average distance that Georgia's recruiting at. I know a lot of people are always like, well, why don't they recruit Georgia more? Why don't they recruit the nation more? Well, you can actually go on and see some of the metrics that they have, which is pretty cool and pretty interesting in terms of what the Bulldogs are doing. But that average NIL deal was pretty interesting as well. I think a kid's able to go on there and look at it in terms of, hey, based off of my interaction on Twitter or Instagram, you know, I don't know, whatever else they're doing, what am I worth? What's my value? What can that help me in terms of not necessarily making a decision, but eventually once I get there, how can I capitalize on some things? So, but great job by Jake, and we will continue to follow the 23 class, 24 class, and as guys commit to the University of Georgia, we'll reach out to Jake and reach out to some of the guys there at Dogs HQ and make sure that we have the updated information for you on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on our website, anywhere that you can find the 100 Sanford Podcast. But that's it for the night. We hope that you enjoyed the show. We hope that you enjoyed the intel that we were able to give you. Talk a little bit about the Dogs, talk about the women's basketball team, talk about recruiting, and just keep you encouraged, man, as we draw closer and closer to G-Day and draw closer and closer to the beginning of a season to repeat. We hope you get everything that you need here at the 100 Sanford Podcast. And remember to go to manscaped.com, you know, get that 20% off, that free shipping, use the promo code 100hedges, and hey, man, trim those things. But we're out of here. You guys have a good day, good night, whenever you're listening to the show, and go Dogs. Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's at 100 Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.